studied this week and studied in Isaiah, and sometimes I like to tell you guys the how that messages come about. Man, I'm going to try and get through this without crying. I'm glad that God is still redeeming old sinners. You don't have to look far to find someone whose life is broken and then to see them redeemed. But I was scrolling through social media, and one of the pages that I follow is a lady who is a, if I could just be blunt and speak to you, she's a former actress for pornographic movies. And God saved her out of that. Oh, we preach about Rahab the harlot, but we don't want to hear about the harlots of day and time now. I'm glad that God can reach through societal norms and save people. But as I was watching her give her testimony, or part of her testimony, of how God saved her out of that lifestyle, and yes, that's something that our culture needs to be saved out of. She quoted this verse, Proverbs 21:21. And God burned this verse in my heart. I know I've read it. I don't know how many times I've read through the book of Proverbs. I don't know how many times that I have studied intensely the book of Proverbs, but I had no recollection in my mind of ever seeing this verse before I heard her say it. And so I immediately opened up my Bible app on my phone and went to this verse, and I said, there's no way that this verse says that. And sure enough, here's what it says, Proverbs 21:21. He that follow after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. I'm glad that God can take a dishonorable life,
yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
And give honor to someone who had done everything dishonorable. I read this verse, and I said, man, I got to find out a little bit more about that phrase, followeth after righteousness. I want to go ahead and pray, and then I'm going to attempt to preach this verse with what I've studied this week. Father, in Jesus' holy name, you know who I'm preaching to. You know their lives. You know my life. And you know how to give honor of a life that was once dishonored or dishonorable. God, I thank you that you're still reaching sinners. And I thank you that you still care about lives. And I thank you, Lord, that where the world has abused, used, and destroyed lives, you provide usefulness and restoration and help. God, give me the ability to preach this verse and what I've studied. Forgive me, Lord, of my many sins, many shortcomings, and where I failed you. Let me be pure and holy. God, save someone today. Redeem a life today, in Jesus' name, amen. In this verse here, every time that I would try and study it, they would lump the two or three verses that are around it. And the Bible tells us in verse number 20 that there is treasure to be desired, and there's oil represents the Holy Spirit and the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. Verse 22 says that a wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. And, you know, Proverbs is a book of wise sayings that we can practice. And so in verse number 21, which is the one that arrested my heart and God burned in my heart, it said, "He that followeth after righteousness and mercy." Now, as my studies went, I first went to that word followeth, and I found out what the Hebrew word was for that, and I'm not going to attempt to pronounce it, but I studied that, and it carries this meaning: to pursue. It's not just like a child following their mother, or sometimes out there in the yard we got them old chickens, and you let them things out. If they think that they're going to get some corn from you, man, them things will follow you around. I look like a leader of a great army coming up when I'm walking around in that yard with all them chickens behind me, and the rooster, he's out there strutting around, and them chickens are following. They if they think they're going to get something, they'll follow you. And they're not really pursuing you. They're just following along because they think there's a benefit. But to pursue someone means that you're chasing them. Now, you know me, and you guys know that I like to run, and I'll tell you something that we do when we do track workouts. My coach told me, he said, you find the fastest person out here, and you put a target on their back, and you try and catch that person. And so I immediately started relating this to the word followeth, to when I'm out there running on the track, or maybe if I'm out running around the city of Carrollton and I see someone that's faster than me, I want to catch them up. I want to catch up to them. If I see somebody that's stronger than me, I want to get to where they are. If I see somebody that's better than me, I want to get to that point and I want to get to them. And then if I get to them, I want to try and pass them. And that is the principle or the sense here of the word followeth. It is a sense of pursuing someone, like maybe not quite catching up with them, but you can see them just a little bit off in the distance and you're going to follow them, you're going to pursue them, you're going to chase after them, because if you get to them, then you have obtained the place that you need to be. But here's what I found out is when I follow someone is that I rarely catch those that are faster than me. You know why? Because they're faster than me. Because they're working harder. They're pursuing a goal themselves. Now, I'm not saying that we set a mark of any man. Christ is the mark. He's the place that we pursue. He's the righteousness that we pursue. But you and I, as children of God, should put a mark on the Most High calling of God and say, that's where I want to be. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, amen, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was pursuing the Lord and His righteousness. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. He told us in Matthew, in the Beatitudes, the Lord told us, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They'll get there. Amen? And so this verse here with that one little word, followeth, is telling you and I to pursue the righteousness of God. It is at a certain place, and it is up to you and I to chase after righteousness. Here's the problem. We don't. In those track workouts, something happens to your body. You get fatigued. Lord, I'm tired. Don't give up on me. You get to running and pursuing someone or pursuing something. And if they are stronger, they're hard to catch. Are y'all with me? And as I'm chasing them, as I'm pursuing them, I realize that sometimes, especially when we get to a hill, Now, I don't know if you know this, but in running, they don't tell you when you're running up a hill to maintain the pace that you're at. They tell you to maintain the effort. Just keep going. Just keep pursuing. Just keep following after this thing that you're trying to get to. Just keep on going as you're going up the hill. Then when you get to the crest of the hill and you start back down a hill, you got a little bit of reprieve and you can let your legs rest, but you can gain some speed as you're going and you're still able to pursue, but now you're not having to work as hard. You're not having to put as much effort into it. You're still running. You're still pursuing the same thing. Am I making sense to y'all this morning? Y'all nod at me or something. Smile. He that followeth after. Now the Bible tells us what it is that we're following. What it is that we're pursuing. Righteousness. Now, righteousness is exactly how it sounds, and it's the definition exactly what you're thinking. The word righteousness is right living. The mark, the prize, the place that God has set. That's righteousness. Not my idea of righteousness. My idea of righteousness and God's idea of righteousness are two very different things. The things that I believe are righteous in my Bible or in my life, the Bible says in Isaiah that my righteousnesses, plural, are as filthy rags. The things that I think are good, the things that I think are worth pursuing, the things that I think will make me a better human being are the things that God says, no, that's not what I want you to pursue. God wants us to pursue Him. The book of Hosea, I don't know if I still have that place marked. I don't think I do, but I'm gonna turn there because I studied it, and I know I should have marked it, and y'all forgive me. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but in the book of Hosea, in chapter number, y'all bear with me, I apologize, chapter number 6 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain, and the former rain unto the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as early as the early dew that goeth away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth." Listen to what God says here in verse number 6. "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." You know what God wants you to know more than what He wants you to do? He wants you to know Him. He wants you to know His righteousness, to get to know Him a little bit better. You know, you get close to somebody, you start acting like them. Years ago, Luke would go to scout camp, and his scout leader, master that he would go up there with, had a certain way of talking, and he would emphasize different words, and when you would talk to that man, that just the way, the canter of his voice, the way that he would talk, it was distinct, and it was typical for him, but not for other people. Luke go up there and spend a week with that man, and he'd come home at the end of that week. We'd go pick him up, and guess what he'd be doing? He'd be sounding like his scoutmaster. He'd be emphasizing the words that he heard him say. He'd be putting the emphasis on the words that his scout, and I know he didn't realize it. He was just emulating what he had been around all week. He was emulating what he had heard. He was emulating what he had seen and what was demonstrated in front of him. And so he would talk that way because he'd been around it all that week. Friend of mine, the closer that we get to God and the more we pursue Him and the more that we chase after Him, the more we're going to emulate Him, the more we're going to imitate Him, the more that we're going to want to be like Him, because we have knowledge of Him and who He is and what He is and how He operates. And so He says to pursue after righteousness, but then He says another word, and mercy. The Lord said in Hosea 2 that he wanted mercy more, or he wanted you to know mercy more than he wanted sacrifices. That means God is more pleased with me demonstrating his love. Mercy, grace is God's unmerited love toward man. It's hard to uncouple grace and mercy. Mercy is benevolence to someone who does not deserve it. That's what mercy is. And so when you find yourself increasing in your closeness to God, or you're getting closer to the Lord, you're pursuing him, you're getting to know more about him, you find that you will then start to demonstrate compassion, love, mercy, grace to those who do not deserve it. That's something in our society. Because we live in the society of, let me pay them back for what they've done to me. We live in a society of, I'm going to get them because they got me. We live in a society of, I'm going to do unto them as they've done unto me, even if it means treating them. You say, wait a minute, preacher, that's the golden rule. Is it? Or is it just an escape that you go to when you want to justify acting ungodly to someone who you think deserves it? I'm just treating them the way they treated me. Why? God didn't treat you the way you treat him. We all right? He that followeth after righteousness and mercy. It should never be said of Gateway Baptist Church, I'm not going to attend there because those people are mean. It should never be said of a Christian. There may be some that say it. The Bible says, woe unto them that all men speak good of. There's some relationships that you can't mend. I get that. I understand that. But it should never come to a point where we forget that our pursuit is after God and not after pleasing men. If we're pleasing God, we can let him worry about everything else. Y'all with me, ain't you? Y'all done gotten this little groove here with me. I ain't in a rut. I'm just in a groove. Amen. It's not the same. Ruts are caused by tires. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy. God wants you to pursue him. Not only does he want you to pursue him, but he wants you to extend mercy the way that he extends mercy too. And here's what the reward is for pursuing God. Here's what the reward is for chasing after God. That those that will do it findeth life. Jesus said, I came to give them life and give them life more abundantly. That does not mean that you will abound in material wealth because you are a Christian. That's not at all what that means. The Lord has never designed us serving God to mean that we're going to increase in our material goods. It means that you and I will grow spiritually and we will enjoy life no matter what the circumstances are that come our way. The Bible says in 1 Timothy that godliness with contentment is great gain. See, our prize and our treasure is not the material worldly goods that we can obtain. Our prize and our treasure is the Lord Jesus Christ himself and getting to know him better and know more about him. That is real life, friend of mine. I've walked some of you through some tough times, and the difference has always been those that are looking to the Lord and those that are trying to navigate it on their own. And the Lord's given you life. If you'll follow after him, he will give you a life that is so abundant and so joyful. The Bible says that there's joy that passeth all knowledge. There's peace that passeth all understanding. There is a spiritual place that when you're pursuing God that you come to in your life, that come what may, nothing will offend you. You'll get to a place where offenses won't matter anymore because you'll have life. Oh, Lester Roloff said one time, somebody asked him if he got offended. He said, no, you can't offend somebody that's dead. What do you mean? What do you mean you're dead? The Bible says that we are dead to the flesh and we're alive in Christ. If there are things that offend us, it's because we are alive in the flesh and not dead and dead in Christ. And we care more about our flesh than we do about the life that Christ gives us. And at that moment, we stop pursuing the Lord and start pursuing what pleases our flesh. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life. And then there's another word that he said. It seems really simple, doesn't it? This proverb of Solomon. You'll findeth life, and there's a comma there, and you'll findeth what? Righteousness. If you pursue God, you'll find Him. If you study His Word, He will reveal Himself to you in a great and mighty way. Those that come to the Lord, Hebrews 11 tells us, they that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder, Hebrews 7, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There never has been a person who has sought for God or pursued God with all of their heart that they have not found exactly what they were looking for. Say, well, I ain't found it yet. Keep pursuing Him. Me and Miss Terry years ago, she went out on a date with one of my cousins. But I'd done cast a wishful eye. I still got my wishful eye for her. And you know what it took? Some pursuing. Let's go on ahead and be honest, married men. You know what it still takes? Some pursuit. And I thought, them two ain't never going to work out. See, now, y'all kids, y'all know it today. Y'all know it, sliding in somebody's DMs. We didn't have that in my day. So we just had to slip up next to them at the coffee house. Say amen right there, Ben. And we'd say, how you doing? And nearly 27 years has went by. And she still turned red just then when I said that. I had to pursue after her. We say we love God. Well, I love the Lord, but I pursue everything but Him. I love Jesus, but I don't know His Word. I don't understand Him. He has revealed to us in His Word what He wants us to know. He has instructed us. The Bible, Scripture, is good for doctrine, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness, is what Scripture tells us. We can know Him intimately. We can find the life and the righteousness that God wants us to know. But it's going to take pursuit. It's going to take following after. One last word, the word honor. I know, 1203. Ain't none of you mad about that, I can tell. Honor. You'll find life, righteousness, and honor. Our lives are inherently dishonorable to God. who we are, what we are, what we're made out of. We inherit it from our fathers, dishonor. Now, a good name is rather be chosen than great riches. That's in the next chapter. As a matter of fact, I'll go ahead and read that to you. Good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. They're wonderful, and we would rather have honor. And the greatest honor that can be bestowed on a human would be they love the Lord. They love the Lord. We know that the Lord loves us, and thank God for it. And what a wonderful thing that we can brag on, but man, to demonstrate that we love the Lord. See, our actions speak so much louder than our words. And when our actions follow our words, honor ensues. And we find honor. You take that lady that quoted this scripture, and I think about the shame that she had lived with in the past. If you go on my followers list, if you're on Instagram with me, you go on my followers list, you will find her on there, and I encourage you. She's a godly woman now. God has taken her life and has completely transformed it. And she now goes to other people that are in the industry, if I can use that term, and she witnesses to them. That's incredible. Thank God for somebody who will go in the trenches and will go to a life that is broken and ruined and abused and tell them that there's a loving Savior that cares about them. We Christians, we like to turn a blind eye to it, and we think, oh, that's just happening out in other places in the world. No, friend, it is right here in our own backyard. It's very likely in our church. Highly likely. Here it is. 97% of young men by the age of 12 have been exposed to pornography. 97%. Let me tell you what that does to our minds, guys. It creates an image in our mind of what a woman should do and how she should act. And that is ungodly. And it destroys the fiber of a relationship because she's not going to meet your wicked expectations. I know it's a little uncomfortable, but it needs to be preached. And if we are not careful, we will nearly destroy our marriage over this. Y'all right? We will destroy lives. Do you know where a vast majority of the material that is viewed comes from? Sex trafficking rings. That's what you're supporting. It's more than just viewing something that brings pleasure to the eyes for just a moment. It's supporting a trafficking ring where humans are a commodity. Now, put that in perspective. Would any of you sell your daughters to be abused by a grown man? Would any of you sell your sons to be abused by someone? Absolutely not. We've got a great, horrible, tragic thing that is going on right now in our United States of America, in our churches. And it's causing a lot more damage than what we're willing to admit. But God can take all of that dishonor and He can make your life honorable. He can take away the guilt and the shame. It don't only attack men, it attacks women too. Preacher done wading off into all kinds of deep water today, ain't he? That's all right. It needs to be preached. And if we ourselves allow that to overtake our lives and be consumed by it, I've been a place, if I can just be transparent, I've been a place where I've been consumed by lust. Just utterly consumed. Now, if you want me to, I'll step down today as your pastor. But here's what I know about you men. I don't think I'm alone. I've been consumed in the past. And I've done damage to our relationship. That sweet little girl that I said, how you doing too? Is the same one that has endured that stuff with me over the past 25 years and has stood faithful beside me, and thank God for. I'm the man that I am today because God put a good woman in my life that would endure and stand with me and stay with me and say, I'm going to stick beside you. Even though you're dealing with this problem, even though you're facing this, I'm going to stand with you. I'm telling you, I'll be glad to step down today, church, if that's what you want. But I feel like you need to hear it from your pastor. There are a lot of people that face this, and they come to church, and they've got shame, and they've got guilt, and they've got burdens, and they're heartbroken, and the devil keeps you. The devil keeps his foot on your neck, and that's why we have powerless churches. That's why we have powerless men in the church. That's why we don't have volunteers in men in the church. That's why that we don't have people that are willing to step up and carry the gospel. Is because shame and guilt is keeping us suppressed. And we're scared to preach against things that we participate in. You all right? You got to get away from it. You got to get free. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus brings freedom. The Lord brings freedom. Now let me say this. If I've disappointed you today, I feel sorry for you. I'm just trying to be honest and open and transparent with you. There are battles that we face that if we are not open and transparent about, the devil will use to get other men in a position to think that they're lonely. I've said this before. Years ago, I preached on the lion. The Bible says the devil's as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Here is, and I know you've heard me say this, some gateway, and here's what the devil does. The devil has his most, and the lion has his most successful hunt in the dark of night, in dense cover against a lone prey. A lion will not attack a pack, but he will cut one out. Bring them out there. Get them in that dense cover of shame and guilt. Get them in the dark of night. And go in for the kill. And he'd like nothing more than to destroy Gateway Baptist Church. Yeah, are y'all okay? He'd like nothing more than to destroy a home or two or three or four or five in the church. He'd like nothing more than to pursue after that and to destroy the church from within through something as ungodly as that is. But let me tell you, the same thing that brought you to dishonor, God can work to bring honor to His name through. And in your guilt and in your shame. Let me tell you what the devil's telling me right now. You're losing church members. That same dishonor, that guilt and that shame that you find yourself in, if you will pursue, stop pursuing after that junk. That's what repentance is, turning from the wicked and turning to God. That's repentance in its simplest form. And when you stop pursuing the wickedness in your life and start pursuing the Lord, He takes that pursuit of Him and the pursuit of mercy, and He turns it into a life that you've never known. He turns it into righteousness that you've never come to, and He gives you honor in your life. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life. Amen. What do you need today? What are you facing today? It might not be that one thing that I've talked about this morning. It may be that you have dealt with something else. Maybe you're dealing with some other addiction. Maybe you're facing some other problem in your life. God desires that you pursue Him so that when you pursue Him, you grow in righteousness. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. Church, I've done my best to be honest with you and to be transparent with you. And what I want you to do is to be honest and transparent with God. And before you call me this afternoon to confess your sins, don't do it. Make your way down to this old-fashioned altar and you talk it over with the Lord. And you leave it with Him. Don't pick it back up. Now the devil's going to do the same thing you do does to me. He's going to entice you. Every man is tempted and is led away of his own what? Lust. And all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is what the Bible tells us. Last week, I tried to do me a diet. Tried to do this thing called the Daniel fast. I learned that your pastor is not successful at the Daniel fast. I got into work. I've been doing good all week, eating nothing but fruits and vegetables and nuts. And I don't know what I was thinking. I got into work Friday morning, and I got a text from my supervisor said there's coffee and donuts in the break room. Happy Maintenance Man Appreciation Day. Well, I couldn't just be rude. And so I may have ate a donut or two. And shot all that no sugar stuff just right out the door. You can put your best physical effort forward and you will fail. But if you let the Lord guide you and lead you, you pursue after Him, you'll find life, righteousness, and honor. Y'all come, get us a song of invitation. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I preach this. And Lord, the devil attacks even now. And I pray, Lord, that You would show Yourself mighty. Lord, no doubt there are some broken-hearted people in this room that are carrying a load of guilt and shame, and they're tired. God, I pray that they would bring it to You. Lord, I pray that You would help our church. Lord, You'd continue to help me, and that I would continue to pursue You and to chase after You. Lord, have Your will in Your way. Thank You for the forgiveness of sin. Thank You for the free pardon of sin. Thank You for grace and mercy, love and compassion. God, help our church now. God, help us. Would You stand with us?